You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
There's Bears, there's Broncos, and then there's Locked On Broncos. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, columnist at PredominantlyOrange.com, covering all things orange and blue, and NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League. You can give me a follow on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL.
And I am Cameron Parker. I am back on, ladies and gentlemen, after my microphone malfunction. But I am back, and you guys can follow me down on Twitter at Cameron Parker PO, and you guys can follow the Lockdown Broncos Twitter handle at Lockdown Broncos. And Cody, we had joint practices today that just began. You know, a lot to talk about.
A ton to talk about because there's a lot of events, and thankfully no brawls today. But yesterday was our patented Hot Take Tuesday segment where you heard that Josie Jewell will be the Broncos starting inside linebacker at some point in 2018.
Uh-oh.
That was my hot take. And you heard from several fans who dialed into the Locked On Broncos hotline at 970-541-2296. So today on Locked On Broncos, joint practices began between the Broncos and the Bears. That allowed for them to have some competition to occur ahead of the team's matchup this Saturday at Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Segment number one tonight features us talking about some of the storylines from those joint practices this afternoon. Over the last week, there's been a growing sense of optimism for Pat Bowlen's election in the Hall of Fame. We're not the only ones saying he should be in, so we'll talk about the latest around Pat Bowlen and the Hall of Fame committee in segment two of tonight's show, some of Pat Bowlen's biggest accomplishments, why he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And segment number three, which is the final segment of tonight's show, it features a trip around the league to discuss some of the latest storylines from the biggest news around the National Football League. Segment number one, Broncos-Bears joint practice. Chicago Bears came to town. Obviously, a lot of familiar faces there. Danny Trevathan, former linebacker for the Broncos. We miss him. The Broncos evidently miss him quite a bit. We're going to kind of jump through some storylines here from practice today, and I'll kind of lead off on it. We'll get a little bit of Cameron's reaction, my reaction, and then we'll keep going. So obviously today, Chris Harris Jr. didn't practice today. He suffered a little bit of an oblique strain yesterday in practice. He was off. Shaquille Barrett also didn't practice as well for the Broncos today, I believe with a calf injury. So they're going to rest up a little bit. I don't think we're going to see him back tomorrow. We could see him on Friday through a walkthrough. And then I think the optimism around the Broncos right now is that Chris Harris Jr. plays the first couple of series for the Broncos on Saturday against the Bears. A lot of work, especially with Anthony Miller, a lot of matchups that the Chicago Bears have. We'll talk with Lauren Cox, host of Locked On Bears, this Friday. We're going to get a little preview of the game. We're going to hear from some Chicago storylines, and he's going to ask us a bunch of Denver stuff as well. So we'll have that for you here on Friday's episode of Locked On Broncos. So one of the stories today, Cameron, Emmanuel Sanders versus Kyle Fuller in one-on-ones, and Emmanuel Sanders was the guy that had a field day. I don't know if you had a chance to see some of the videos, but he got him on a deep go route, and he got him on an out route, and it absolutely looked embarrassing for Kyle Fuller. So Emmanuel Sanders looking great as ever, continually impresses in training camp and obviously one-on-ones, and now we're going to see him in game action this Saturday against the Bears and Kyle Fuller. But today, Emmanuel Sanders got the best of him.
Yeah, it was definitely something. And, you know, I think for Broncos fans, it should be, you know, refreshing to see that Emmanuel Sanders is doing well. And it wasn't just Emmanuel Sanders that was doing well. It sounded like the entire number one offense was doing well. It sounded like Case Keenum was lighting it up today. It's a great sign, knowing the fact that, yes, that the fans were all over the first team offense there in their four plays that they played in preseason. But it was a nice bounce back to at least, you know, play in that joint practice, which, you know, by all intents and purposes, I mean, the teams run scrimmages, you know, against themselves. Obviously, you know, their defense, offense, and defense. But the joint practices, it's the closest thing officially to game action before the Bears face off against the Broncos in the preseason. So it was really good to see that Emmanuel Sanders and the offense really kind of make its way against Kyle Fuller. And that secondary, which, you know, Kyle Fuller he's actually pretty good as far as the cornerbacks go.
Well, and even the, you know, go back and look at it too. If you guys want to see some of the video recap, I'm sure DenverBroncos.com, Broncos TV has some highlights for you today. But Ryan Green over there, CBS 4 Denver, he's got a lot of good videos. He does a daily vlog, a video blog at Broncos camp and gets everything that they're allowed to shoot during the recording period. And he got a lot of good stuff in those one-on-ones and some of those drills. So if you want to see some action, Emmanuel Sanders versus Kyle Fuller, shoulder, breaking the ankles, getting open on the routes. Check out Ryan Green over there at Twitter, CBS4. He's a great guy. Obviously does a lot of good stuff, photography for the Broncos as well for CBS4. So he's a good guy to follow. If you're not following him, go do it. Another guy, Cam, everybody's high on. He's having a good day in one-on-ones, specifically against Bears linebackers, Philip Lindsay, and just how explosive he is, how quick he is. He was having a lot of success against Danny Trevathan and even a lot of these other inside linebackers that the Chicago Bears have. Now, one thing I really like that the Broncos can really utilize this year with the tailbacks, I think this is perfect for Philip Lindsay. He is the perfect option. If you want to throw the ball to a tailback, you want to go an empty set, you want to motion out to an empty set or motion to a trips, lead out the tailback, Philip Lindsay is the most explosive, in my opinion, running back that can catch the ball for the Broncos this season. So I wonder if they have a game plan, if he makes the 53-man roster, to utilize him in that kind of facet. I think he's more suited for that than Devontae Booker, in my honest opinion. So what's your take on that?
I agree. And people have been raving about Devontae Booker's catching ability, and it's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. Devontae Booker's catching is great out of the backfield, but there are those backs, and we've been talking about it at ad nauseum during the draft process, and what will the Broncos do as far as running backs go. And you know, in the running back draft process, you know, we're looking at guys like Akram Wadley, potentially just those different guys that could fit in that backfield. But there's always that Philip Lindsay connection back in our back pocket. Lo and behold, it actually comes to fruition. He's a Denver Bronco. He's just a dynamic player. And it goes to show you why or where the NFL is headed with a lot of these guys. Because I'm going to give you a guy that I didn't really comp to Philip Lindsay, but I've been comping Chris Thompson to Philip Lindsay, and it's the perfect compliment. But also, there's a guy down in Detroit. I don't know if you guys have been following the Detroit Lions. There's a guy by the name of Theo Riddick. He's very explosive as far as a wide receiver slash running back with the Detroit Lions. He's very, very valuable in that offense. Some might say he might be the most valuable running back in that entire offense. Philip Lindsay, I'm not trying to, you know, maybe a day late trying to make my hot take, but I think Philip Lindsay might be the most valuable running back in that group just because of how versatile he is. You can spread him out wide and you can make him a wide receiver, or you can even make him that you know, vital kickoff returner that the Broncos clearly do see right now. So I think the team is really, really starting to get high on Philip Lindsay and the amount of production that he can do. And if he's making Danny Trevathan miss, lo and behold, what he might end up doing with a bunch of that AFC West linebacking core.
Well, the good thing for Philip Lindsay, he has the opportunity to make the roster first off on special teams primarily, but he made the most of his reps in preseason action against the Vikings, which the Denver Broncos played last week. So the NFC North getting a lot of work against the AFC West right now against the Denver Broncos. They obviously have a game this Saturday at Broncos Stadium, Mile High, 7 p.m. kickoff. You can get all the action over there. One quick bit on Broncos Bears joint practices when they actually did the scrimmage part per Zach Stevens of the BSN network. He said that the Broncos were up 23-21 with 1:30 left during the Broncos and Bears situational period of practice, and it featured the Bears' first team O against the Broncos' first team D. It ended with the Bears kicking a 50-plus yard game-winning field goal as time expired. Sometimes you live and learn on those things, but from the sounds of it too, you know, Vance Joseph today said the first team defense looked very sharp today, and unfortunately for the Broncos, the second team defense didn't look that good at all. And you factor in that they have a bunch of new additions, guys that are banged up that are just returning to practice, or like you said, some of these newest additions, Shamarco coming in, a lot of these other guys coming in, and I think for the Broncos, you know, they're down to 5 safeties, they're down to 6 cornerbacks. That's something Vance Joseph talked about. So they're dinged up. So a lot of these guys have to go against the second team and the third team to get these reps. It's not bad for those guys trying to make rosters, but at the same time, when you want to preserve fatigue and obviously rest and not get worn out, going multiple times. So the first D was very sharp. Case Keenum was very sharp. Unfortunately, today the Broncos' second team defense didn't look that good, and there was a lot of word coming out of today's practice that the Broncos defense really struggled against tight ends. They said tight ends were having a field day, and that's been a consistent area that has bit the Denver Broncos in the tail a little bit, because tight ends have found ways to get open, especially up the vertical seam, and when you match up certain coverages with an inside linebacker, the Denver Broncos continue to struggle with covering tight ends or tailbacks out of the backfield. And I think a lot of that hurts because you don't have Sua Cravens in right now, who is a guy that can do that. So they haven't been able to do that. They've been going with Will Parks. Will Parks has had a phenomenal camp, phenomenal preseason. He's going to going to continue to ramp it up. But when the inside linebackers are in, the Todd Davises, Brandon Marshall, you know, those guys struggling right now in coverage is a sign that the Denver Broncos have to fix a lot of things, especially for week one of the NFL regular season, which is going to come up. So there's no worries there. So far, no fights. That's a great news. Obviously, there's some fights going around the National Football League. We're going to talk about that a little bit later here in segment three. You're going to hear about a specific fight and who was involved in that. But no fight so far at the UCL Training Center between the Bears and the Broncos. That warrants good news. But speaking of good news, coming up in segment number two, we talk about why we feel very optimistic right now that Pat Bowlen will be elected into this upcoming draft class as a contributor for the Hall of Fame. Optimism is rising. The smoke is in the air. The fire has started. I feel very optimistic right now based on a lot of things that I've been reading and hearing around the NFL community, the Hall of Fame community. Regarding Pat Bowlen, there's a little bit of a growing optimism right now that this is going to be the year that we see Pat Bowlen inducted into the Hall of Fame as a contributor. I think it's going to be him and Gil Brandt. I think those are going to be the two guys that get the contributor status. A lot of people have definitely acknowledged that Pat Bowlen's time to be in the Hall of Fame is overdue. So let's talk about why Pat Bowlen should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. So in his time as the Denver Broncos owner, he's reached four Super Bowls with four different head coaches. That's crazy. You don't really see that with a lot of teams, let alone, you know, how many teams get to a Super Bowl period. He's been to four with four different head coaches. You got some franchises that are on their 20th head coach in the last 10 years. So that's crazy. You know, it changes every single year around the National Football League. Another cool stat, he has more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons. He's got seven Super Bowl appearances as the owner of the Denver Broncos than he has losing seasons for over three decades of being the owner of the Denver Broncos, 30 years and running. It's unbelievable the blueprint that Pat Bowlen has set down. And under them, he's had one of the most successful franchises in all of sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, under his ownership. He's had one of the most successful franchises in sports history since taking over the Denver Broncos. And his handprint is on every aspect of operation with the Broncos right now. So there is a lot of traction, Cameron, heating up that this will be the year Pat Bowlen rightfully gets into the Hall of Fame. Now, ESPN's Sal Palantonio said that Pat Bowlen should be a slam dunk given all the accolades that he's accomplished. And I think when we look at that, we kind of went over some of the most basic accomplishments, but he has a national respect, a well-rounded respect across the National Football League from other owners and even players, former players. There was a great story back in February, the Denver Post did. They talked to a lot of former Broncos players, Ed McCaffrey, John Elway, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharp. All these guys, they gave their little stories, their favorite stories from Pat Bowlen. I think people should go and read that. Go ahead and look that up. It's at the Denver Post. Type in Pat Bowlen, Denver Post, and then look for the February 2018 post. It's on there. It's a great read. Also, this year, the Broncos have the ability for Randy Gradishar, Pat Bowlen, and Champ Bailey to be inducted this year in the Hall of Fame. Now, Cameron, you know, if that happens, I feel like I would have a little less animosity towards the Hall of Fame committee. If three Broncos made it in 1 year, maybe I'd start to, you know, the sour grapes that I have right now, maybe I'd ease up on that a little bit.
Yeah, no, and we outlined, you know, as far as the bias and everything that's been there for the Broncos. It seems that way with the Hall of Fame, and it is a travesty to use that phrase. It is a travesty that Pat Bowlen certainly hasn't been in the Hall of Fame, and or at least hasn't been inducted yet. But you outlined it. I mean, he clearly created the Denver Broncos identity, and it the marking of a terrific franchise, a Hall of Fame worthy owner, Hall of Fame worthy franchise, is having it trickle down to every single player in that franchise. And when that happens, you get guys like John Elway that start speaking up. And when John Elway gets inducted, that's a strong voice potentially to get Pat Bowlen in there. But it leaves that mark. It leaves a very strong mark for the Denver Broncos and initially the entire National Football League. And you know what, one of the things that he has done so well of as far as Pat Bowlen has been the home field advantage. You know, the Broncos, if I'm not mistaken, are in the top three or top four of the best home field advantages record-wise under the Pat Bowlen era.
Yep.
I mean, that is remarkable. And that just shows you that they do it for Pat every single game. I mean, that in a nutshell, they do it for themselves too, just because they want to win. But they do it for Pat every single time they're on the football field. And for the Broncos and for Pat Bowlen, you know, it's bittersweet. I mean, that's probably the best way to put it. It's
very bittersweet.
And hopefully it is the sign. Hopefully it is a sign of something to come, potentially for the Broncos, because I know that, you know, we've been talking about it in some of the group messages that we have with some of our friends and or fellow predominantly Orange coworkers. You know, that there, at least when we did our article, that guys like Carl Mecklenburg and Randy Gradshaw, Steve Atwater, you know, we'll see if once the door potentially gets open with Pat Bowlen, if that sways open a big time door for guys like Steve Atwater, Randy Gradshaw, and Carl Mecklenburg.
The Broncos have a lot of well-deserving guys that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame based on their accolades. And I always look at it this way. If Steve Atwater, Randy Gradishar, any of these guys, Carl Mecklenburg, if they played in a place like Dallas or the New York Giants, they would already be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. They would already be in the Hall of Fame right now. There is an evident bias in my honest opinion right now. The Denver Broncos, it is amazing to me how through the storied franchise of the Broncos team, under the evolution and the ownership of Pat Bowlen, you could tell today in every ounce of operation that the Broncos operate in right now to the present day, it's Pat Bowlen's handprint. It's his fingerprints are all over. Even though he's not there, it is his vision being carried out by Joe Ellis, by John Elway, and the staff there, and they're upholding that standard that Pat Bowlen has always wanted for his team, is to be competitive. Pat Bowlen, yeah. Mike Shanahan, they had a good friendship, and when the Broncos were struggling, they went 7-9. You know, he had to make that tough decision to let him go because there is a standard that he has set from the very beginning of taking over the Broncos. We are going to win. Our goal is to win championships. Every year we hear that in John Elway's, you know, end of the year press conference, beginning of the year press conference. That's our goal, is to compete for world championships year in and year out. That is Pat Bowlen's vision. This is the year, Cam. I have a good feeling in the loins right now that we're going to see Pat Bowlen in the Hall of Fame. And hopefully, like you said, if Pat Bowlen gets in the Hall of Fame, hopefully that opens the door for guys like Steve Atwater, Randy Gradishar. And, you know, Champ Bailey's eligible this year. Champ Bailey, in my opinion, first ballot Hall of Fame. Plain and simple. Best cornerback, in my opinion, arguably one of the best cornerbacks to ever play the game. If he gets in, that just opens the door for a lot of things there. So very excited about that. Don't forget that Lauren Cox, host of Locked On Bears, he joins us on Friday's episode of Locked On Broncos to discuss joint practices this week, this weekend's game, and some storylines that are applicable to the Bears and the Broncos in our crossover show. Also, Locked On NFL has become the Locked On NFL of experts. Matt Williamson hosts Locked On NFL and has a brand new lineup every week. Every Monday, it'll be the Locked On local experts of your shows featuring the biggest stories. Then you'll have Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. He'll join the show every Wednesday. And ESPN's amazing Mike Sando, he joins on Thursdays, Locked On NFL. Be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, just to get this amazing content today. All right, we got to travel around the National Football League. Some news around the league. We are at hump day. Tomorrow's Thursday. We'll be back for another episode of Locked On Broncos. But there's some news around the NFL today that I feel like we should really talk about. The talk of the town today involves a specific cornerback down south. But once the NFL season gets underway, even in the preseason, it almost feels like we hear about something new every day. Today, we heard from Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey. Now, Jalen Ramsey, phenomenal talent, phenomenal cornerback, absolutely. I think he's one of the best man coverage corners right now in the NFL. He took to GQ magazine. It was published today and it was released, and he likes to talk trash about quarterbacks, and he completely trash talked a lot of quarterbacks. I retweeted something that says pretty much everything he thinks about every quarterback, and it's a really cool, it's a cheat sheet, but he talked about quarterbacks like Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, and others. And he really defended Blake Bortles, which, to be honest with you, I think that's just to save face. I think if Blake Bortles were to be traded or cut to some team, I think Jalen Ramsey would be very outspoken towards his quarterback. But because it's his teammate, Jalen Ramsey said that people need to trust Blake Bortles more, which some of the guys he trashed, I don't get it, because those guys are better than Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles had a good year last year. Don't get me wrong. Had a great playoff run. The team around him didn't get him there. But I wonder what he really thinks about his cornerback. What do you think on this, Cam?
it's crazy to me. You know, I think I actually shared this with you first, and it's absolutely unbelievable that, you know, I mean that he was so transparent, but at the same time, I mean, ever since the days of Deion Sanders, you know, back in his playing days, the cornerback position and the wide receiver position, and in particular with Jalen Ramsey, he doesn't hold back. I mean, he does not hold back. Richard Sherman, certainly when during his playing days, he didn't hold back, and he would just play to do the talking. But I think the thing that was just so interesting to me is that he's not sold on a lot of guys that, you know, are actually
proven.
Pretty proven, I should say. I mean, you look at Kirk Cousins, and he just said he thinks he's good. I think he's a winner. But then you go and you look at Jared Goff, and he starts calling him average. And, you know, where would you put the Jimmy Garoppolo hype? And he's just saying, you know, I don't know yet. And then you start looking at the draft picks. And, I mean, the staggering one is the Josh Allen, where he said, you know, I think Josh Allen is trash. I mean, just point blank, first sentence.
Do they play this year? Do the Jaguars and Bills play each other this year?
I'm not sure.
We'll have to check.
But we'll have to check. But I mean, look, I wasn't the biggest fan of the Josh Allen tape, but I've been on record as saying that Josh Allen has the best potential ceiling if he hits it than arguably any other quarterbacks, along with Lamar Jackson. And so it's interesting to me that, you know, you look at a cornerback and you see him break down these quarterbacks. And the positive sign about all of this is that you get a guy like Jalen Ramsey, and he's actually breaking down a lot of the different quarterbacks. So you get a chance to actually see how he ticks, how he operates, or ticked off, I should say.
I'll give you a little cheat sheet right now. Joe Flacco, he sucks. Aaron Rodgers doesn't suck. Brady doesn't suck. Tyrod Taylor, underrated. Mariota, good game manager. Garoppolo, I guess he's good. Deshaun Watson will be an MVP. Carson Wentz will be an MVP. Goff, average to above average. Prescott, he's okay. Cousins is a winner. Wilson is good. Roethlisberger, decent at best. I'd say that's realistic. Manning, Odell makes him. Oh, that's rough. Bortles, Blake, do what he gotta do. That's what he says there. Foles, good enough to win a Super Bowl. Breeze, really good. Andrew Luck, don't think he's good. Stafford, he's straight. Tannehill, haven't heard good things.
Matt Ryan, overrated.
Craziness, man. You know, I just miss when cornerbacks would actually play the game without talking. Champ Bailey, he was the guy that did it right. He didn't have to say a word. He didn't say a word. He was never this vocal, outspoken guy. That's why I love Champ Bailey. Always a humble guy. But in our next news, wide receiver for the Texans, DeAndre Hopkins, he was kicked out of practice today by head coach Bill O'Brien after DeAndre Hopkins and 49ers quarterback Jimmy Ward. They got into a fight. And it really makes me thankful that we haven't seen a brawl occur with Broncos and Bears. Broncos defensive tackle Derek Wolf, he came out today and said that we don't have any brawls because primarily we all have respect for each other. We're not like some of these other teams. So that's a good sign that they have that respect for each other. They're battling hard. They're getting better. Great news there. And then the last part of here today, the Denver Broncos, it was found out that Carlos Henderson, wide receiver, would be suspended the first game for violation of the NFL substance abuse policy stemming back from his arrest this offseason for marijuana possession and consumption. Unfortunately, he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be playing in the NFL, period. So he might be a career-long suspension. I don't think he's going to play in the league anymore. I don't think he's got the mental fortitude to do it. So
we'll see.
I think we're going to see about that. But to finish off the show, because we're running out of time here, Broncos GM John Elway, he said that the Broncos really might consider bringing in a backup quarterback. Now here, we got a little bit of the Greg Popovich side of John Elway. He said, I'm not going to tell you we're definitely going to stand pat, but I'm not telling you we're going in that direction either. So he's playing a little mind game for us, kind of to decipher. So, you know, John Elway, once again, trying to trick us all. We get it. I understand. I get it. You're not going to show your hand right now. And I think that's one thing John Elway has consistently been good with in his career. He really doesn't reveal his hand, and he makes these moves out of the blue. And it's like, wow, shocker. The only one I'd say I'd really question was bringing in Mark Sanchez via trade. That was probably the only one I was like, what are you doing? I kind of scratched my head. Yeah. But there's a lot of options out there. I think, you know, one of the options I floated out is Shane Ray to the New York Jets for Teddy Bridgewater in a mid-round pick. I think that might be something that could be in the works. Like I said, don't be surprised if you see it. You heard it here first. That's just my hot take for Wednesday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the show. Thank you once again for joining Cameron and I for an episode of Locked On Broncos. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for training camp updates, joint practice updates, and all things Denver Broncos NFL related. You can follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. You can follow Cameron at CameronParkerPO. And follow the Locked On Broncos handle at Locked On Broncos. Continue to send your iTunes reviews. We've been getting a lot of good reviews the last couple of days. Keep them coming. We appreciate it. And also, you can be on Locked On Broncos by just calling 970-541-2966 to leave your Locked On Broncos analysis, feedback, or hot takes. We'll play them on the show every single week. And be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Broncos.